Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts Community of Christ offers for today's world.
Hello, welcome to Project Zion podcast. This is your host, Robin Linkhart. And today, Leandro Palacios is with us to talk about virtual ministry. Leandro may be a familiar name to many of our listeners today. Leandro, along with John Hamer and others, are very active in Toronto Centerplace Community of Christ in the virtual community and online offerings that they provide for many people, not only across Canada, but across our globe. Leandro, I want to welcome you today, and we would love to hear a little bit about you so we can get to know you better.
Hi, Robin, and thank you for this opportunity. And yes, I know that some of the listeners already know me, but I can tell you my story starts in Argentina. I'm originally from there. I grew up a Catholic. I eventually left the Catholic Church. I became a Buddhist. After I moved to Canada in 2010, I started visiting the local Community of Christ congregation here in Toronto. And I finally joined the Community of Christ. I got baptized at the end of 2014. 2014, but I had been attending the local congregation every Sunday for quite a while. And now today I am here at Toronto Congregation. I am financial officer, and I'm also behind all the online ministry that we do, which include the streaming our Sunday services and our lectures and meditation services that we have regularly every week.
That's really exciting. I love hearing about your story with Community of Christ, and what a gift and blessing you are to all of us because of the virtual ministry that takes place out of Toronto Center Place. So, and I understand you were really on the ground level of that emerging. So you not only are on the front end of that, sharing publicly with folks, but you have an integral understanding of the back end. So tell us a little bit about how the virtual ministry there got started.
Well, my educational background is in software engineering. And so I'm familiar with computers, with technology, and I also, it is something that I like to do. I like to research software and computer devices, other kinds of devices. And so here in Toronto, the congregation is it's quite small. It's smaller than in other congregations. And I should say that the downtown Toronto congregation, we have the two other congregations in Toronto, but this is downtown. It's a congregation that is primarily composed of the 60 plus population, and so we decided that we were going to do outreach here in the city. It's a very vibrant neighborhood where we are. We have lots of people just walk by in front of our church, and there's a university campus that is just a block from here. So there's a lot of young people, young professionals also that live in this neighborhood. So we wanted to just reach out to the neighborhood, and so we decided to start with our lectures, with our meditation, and then we realized that there many people were telling us, we would really like to just go and participate of all these new activities that you're doing. And, we would like to visit your congregation, but we just can't. We live, maybe in Utah and Missouri and Calgary. We can't go there, just as often as we would like to. And so that was the incentive to just put whatever we do here online so that people can see it. And so we started with photos, with short videos, and eventually we tried the Zoom technology that was suggested to us that other congregations were already using. Zoom didn't really work out for us because the main reason was that we wanted to do music. We wanted to sing hymns on our online services. So we switched to live streaming. And since we started, it's amazing how once you become aware that there's not just the people, the congregation that is sitting here at our church, but also there's another congregation that is just all over the world. And it's eventually we start changing the way we do things here as well. And we get so much feedback and so many comments and from all these people that, you know, we had not met before from all over the place. We have people from Germany, Australia, all sorts of places in the U.S. And so that was just like we realized that slowly we were, you know, really becoming a congregation that was beyond the walls. You know, it wasn't just here. That's why we called our main online service Beyond the Walls, because it's our congregation. We can no longer think of the congregation as the people that meet here physically.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, the Sunday morning service at Toronto Centre Place is called Beyond the Walls?
Beyond the Walls is the online service that we do once a month on Thursday evenings. The Sunday service is still Sunday service. And that was the main service or the main activity that we do here that has been truly transformed by the online ministry. All our members have become very acquainted with the idea, very comfortable. It took some time. The service is primarily continues to be the same. It has the same format that everyone likes, that everyone, that all our congregation, long-term congregation members are used to and enjoy. But also at the same time, we've been becoming more and more aware that there's people that join us every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And some of them join us live, and some of them actually maybe go to their congregation, and when they get home, they watch the recording of the service. And so we all slowly have been becoming aware of the fact that the congregation is not just sitting here, but the congregation is in all sorts of places. And it really has changed how we do the service. It really has changed how we think about what the congregation is.
Okay, so this is like super exciting to me because I love watching mission and beginning ideas kind of overflow into other things that can happen. So it sounds to me like your first online foray with ministry was Beyond the Walls, which was mm-hmm. once a month on a Thursday night. Mm-hmm. And you had already had your congregation meeting at Toronto Centre Place on Sunday. And then slowly realized that something you were already doing that was meaningful and energetic and nurturing people on Sunday could become an online experience for everyone. And you do that live because I know I clicked in, I was traveling and I was checking Facebook and it was like, oh my gosh, Toronto's on right now. So I actually, for a few minutes that Sunday morning, I was able to catch like the last several minutes of what you were doing with each other live. And then I've also realized, as it sounds like lots of people have, that we can go to church on Sunday morning and anytime that day or even later in the week, we can just scroll down to your service and watch it, although it's not live at that moment, but we can watch the archive file. Is that right? Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, no, it's all our videos are available on Facebook once the live stream ends. And we're slowly trying to put everything on YouTube. There's many people who are not comfortable with Facebook. They're not on Facebook. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think you have articulated it in a better way than I did. I just get a little excited when I think about, you know, all these, you know, all the process of transformation of all these activities here and you know, as a result of the congregation. And the main thing I really noticed and that makes me really happy is how the enthusiasm has changed of the local members, the members that come here every Sunday. Because for the longest time, I remember coming here and people, you know, just counting. It like the how many people we have today here was such a concern. It's like, okay, we have this many, that many, and you know, if we have a little bit more, you get happy. But if you have a little bit less, you get sad. And all of a sudden, just the fact that, you know, we know that so many people join us from everywhere, it has such a positive impact in how we, you know, we think about what we're doing here. Imagine you just spend a whole week thinking about a passage of scripture, then spend a couple of days writing your sermon, and you come here and you only have maybe 10 people that Sunday. Mm-hmm. And that can be a little, you know, disappointing. But knowing that all of a sudden you have twice, three times as many people just watching from different places. So people have all of a sudden become aware of that. And it's the way that we do the service has, you know, just has changed, has improved. And everyone is really enjoying it more. People understand the impact that we have. It's not only just like a little thing that we do here in our small congregation.
That is so exciting. So which Thursday of the month is Beyond the Walls meeting?
Well, it's usually the third Thursday of the month. So we've been doing it very consistently, except last month we had to cancel because there were way too many things. But you know, way too many things going on. We were like double booked for that week. Since we started with the Beyond the Walls services, we had been using the enduring principles as the theme of each Beyond the Walls service.
That's terrific. So I'm also aware that you have a couple other things that you share beyond the walls. And one would be something that you do on Tuesday nights. Is that correct?
Correct. So after we started with the Beyond the Wall service, you know, other people were really asking us, you know, whether we could also stream the other things that we do here. And so, for example, we have the Tuesday lectures. So every Tuesday usually is John Hamer who prepares a lecture on topics that have to do with theology, with the history of Christianity, with philosophy as it, you know, the Christianity in general. And so we started streaming these lectures, and those have become our most successful online ministry. Although, you know, the Beyond the Walls is services and the Sunday services have been, you know, going on for a while and have a very good number of regulars. So people who join pretty much every Sunday, people who join every Beyond the Walls. The lecture is not, we also have a group of online regulars. But in addition to that, we reach out to many people that we don't even know, many people who are not members of the church. And for example, we had just recently a lecture on the topic of homosexuality in the Bible, because it was Pride week in Toronto last week.
Yeah.
And that was our most successful stream ever that had like 2,500, it has 2,500 views so far. And it's been, there's one statistic that I really like, that it's how many minutes people spent total watching, and it's something like 8,000 minutes that we have so far. So that is, that's the most successful. And if you look at the list of the top of the most watched lectures, it's all, you know, Christian topic, even restoration topics. So we have this one that is, you know, just going through the Bible and reading passages to see what the Bible has or has, or has to say in favor or against, or, you know, when in regards to homosexuality. We had another Bible on the Passion. We had another lecture on the Joseph Smith and his Joseph Smith idea of the divine and how that developed. And so these are all the top lectures. It's really a core Christian and even core restoration content that we put out there, and has been the most successful videos that we have so far.
That is really exciting. And as you're talking, Leandro, I'm hearing a very keen intentionality to do an overlay of things that are happening. For example, I think your lecture about the Passion of Christ was near Lent or Easter time. The one you did during the week of Pride on homosexuality in the Bible. So things are really connecting in very relevant ways with either the Christian calendar or things that are going on in our world or things that are contemporary right there in Toronto happening outside your walls. And Leandro, I understand that you guide and facilitate a meditation at the center. And is that also shared online?
That's our newest type of online ministry. I was a little hesitant at the beginning to just to put our meditations online. The meditation is, I think, of all the things that we do here, is the one that attracts the most new people. So we, like, the people that walk into this church for the first time primarily come here for meditation, then the lectures. We have a lot of people for the lectures too, but it's usually, I would say, the meditations is half and half. You know, it's 50% people who's never been here, people who don't know who we are. And so I'm just thinking, well, just putting all this camera equipment and all the lights, and, you know, people might just feel very uncomfortable and they're meditating. But people really want it. All the people who were following our Sunday services and our lectures were really hoping we would start streaming the meditations as well. And it really happened when I think it was just a month ago that two regular members of the meditation group had to travel at the same time. One had to go to Egypt to work. The other one went on a long vacation trip, and they really, you know, wanted to continue the regular practice of meditation. And so that was like the additional excuse to start these meditation live streams. And so we've been doing it, and it's actually been wonderful. You know, it hasn't had a negative impact on the people that come here. I simply have to explain what's going on and why we do this. And the fact that people can only see me, people can only hear me online. So that everyone can, you know, just relax. And it really has, once we started, we realized, wow, we should have done this, you know, because it's once again, it really adds perhaps 10% more work to get things set up, but the impact is it's again just twice, three times the people that we can reach out just by, you know, just putting a little bit of additional effort in what we already do.
I love the way you all are so willing to pioneer into new territory and discover ways to make it work. And I'm hearing how pastorally sensitive you've been to the needs of the people attending face-to-face with the meditation ministry and finding a way to maintain that sensitivity and their privacy and at the same time be able to share, like you say, share something you're already doing.
We're already doing it.
Mm-hmm. But with a little extra effort, as you say, but the fruit of that is far exceeds. That's amazing. So when actually is the meditation ministry?
Well, it actually will happen tonight in a few hours. So we do it only once a week. We do have two meditations here weekly, but we only stream the Thursday meditation that starts at 6 p.m. on time.
6 p.m. Eastern?
Yes, it goes from 6 to 7. And the meditation services are usually, I try to be aware of the fact that we have a very diverse group of people that are sitting together to meditate, including people who have never meditated before, and people who might be very experienced meditators, people that probably meditate every day. And so I, in addition to that, now I have the, I have to be aware of the fact that, well, maybe people are meditating at home and they have maybe their kids running around and things like that. So it's, it adds a little, an additional challenge on how we guide these meditations. But it's, I think, you know, we've been getting good feedback from online viewers, online participants. And as I said before, it hasn't had a negative impact on the people who come here physically.
That's incredible. So I want to ask you a little bit about, as you reflect back on your experience in Toronto Center Place and all the different avenues of virtual ministry that you all have explored, as you think back over that whole experience, is there anything that you wish you had known when you first started out that you've learned since you launched your first one?
Anything I wish I had known at the time. You know, it's hard to say because it really, when things started, I had no idea where I was going to be, where things, where the Spirit was going to lead us towards. I think it would have been, good to know, you know, what we are doing right now so that, you know, maybe we, having had that in mind, we could have done just a few things differently when we were thinking of how to build this new facility that we have here, for sure. But I really think that, you know, it has been a pretty successful journey, because it, you know, sometimes when you're trying to start something new, you sit down with, you know, the other people and you think about what to do, how can we outreach, how can we continue to do the things that we do and making everyone happy, and just brainstorming ideas. And instead, what I feel is that it's, we've been just riding this wave and just, we can't stop. There's no way of stopping this, because it just like keeps moving and moving. And I, when was it? 5 years ago when I started attending the Sunday services at the Toronto congregation, I had no idea I was going to be today just preparing for a meditation services while I am doing an interview with an apostle and at the same time filing the taxes for the congregation. I had no idea all those things were going to happen. Would have been good to know that? I don't know, because I would have said, oh my God, that's a lot. I'm not sure I want to go that way. So yeah, no, I think I'm enjoying this, like how things just keep appearing on our path. And it's just wonderful. And I'm really enjoying it, you know, every part of it every day.
That is so exciting. I really appreciate the way you've shared that, Leandro. And my experience is similar, although, you know, each of us have different ministries and a different journey and experience. But I, like you, have a very strong sense that the Holy Spirit is fully engaged in all of this. And it does feel like this wave. And once you're on that wave, it just flows and goes, and things that we wonder, how is this all going to fit together, somehow come together. And sometimes we have questions we don't have the answer to quite yet, but the answer comes when we need it. And what I'm hearing in your voice and seeing on your face, since we are connected by video as well as audio today, is this joy and life-giving energy that is filling you and your team as you live into this and choose to take the ride on that wave. It's wonderful. It's bringing new life to everyone.
And also to, you know, to ourselves, like all of us who just are doing ministry here are, and it really, it's changed our lives. That in the same way we offer ministry, but then we receive so much from everyone, from the people that come here in person, from the people who join us online. It's, you know, we're just creating all these different connections with so many people, and it's just sharing. And that, I think you were asking me before. And I don't know if you maybe have this saved for later, but how do you think the work that you do there has had an impact on other people? And and really, we see it every day. Like people that come here and to our, especially our lectures and meditations, are primarily people who don't go to church. As in church, as in Sunday service church, we have people who are not even from a Christian background, don't even have a Christian background. Many Muslims, many atheists, Jews, and many other people. That, there's all religions are represented in Toronto, and we do get them all. But you know, primarily is dissidents, Muslims, Jews, and that join us, and it's wonderful to see ministry happening with all these people that are with all these diverse group of people that join us.
Yeah. So your theme focus this month for Beyond the Walls is unity and diversity, and I'm hearing you describe a life of unity and diversity as you engage in this ministry that's impacting so many people. And even as you shared earlier with the numbers of people that are joining the lectures, you're having impact with people you don't even know too. That's incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah.
So yeah. As you continue on this ministry, and it's been a couple years now since Beyond the Walls launched. Is that right?
I think Beyond the Walls started only, last year. I think we had our first Beyond the Walls back in October 2017. So it hasn't been that long.
Wow.
As we're speaking, I'm just going through the history of videos, and it looks like the first thing that we ever streamed was a lecture, and it was a disaster. It just didn't work out, and yeah, you can hear anything. We'd lost the internet. And then we tried Beyond the Walls. I think it was in probably September 2017. So it's been less than a year.
That's amazing.
This started.
So much has happened in the life of your ministry there that it just felt to me that it was longer than that.
Oh, I know.
So exciting. That is great.
Yeah, it feels like we've been doing this forever. But you know, when we think about it now, because just 2 years ago, we were just starting with all these activities here at our church. And you know, we had not even thought about live streaming all these things.
Okay, so you have some experience under your belt now, and the ministry has taken on diverse paths that people didn't even think about at the very beginning, but make total sense in the context of everything that's going on. As you've experienced that, have there been any guiding principles or best practices or advice that you would offer to others maybe who want to launch out into a virtual ministry and haven't started yet, or people that are just beginning that could benefit from your words of wisdom?
Well, I guess the main thing is, if you have something that you're already doing and that you're passionate about, that it's ministry that is happening in your area, at your congregation, that is something that you can just put online and you can live stream. And with just a little bit of additional effort, you're going to reach out to so many more people. That's one thing that I would say. And the other thing is, really listen to people, because it's not, sometimes, you know, we like to think of ideas, and this is from, I guess, my background in marketing is, oh, we may have an excellent idea, but it is not necessarily something that people want. Mm. So you have to keep an ear open and listen, and really it's the people who's going to tell you what's the next step. And it's the people that join you in person, and it's the people that eventually will join you online are you know, just leading you. And I guess, is there anything else? And really be, you know, not only listen to people, but you know, be, you know, very aware of, you know, diversity, be very aware of privacy. If you're gonna stream an event that happens with other people, those kind of things.
All right. So what do you see is on the horizon for virtual ministry in your context? I mean, is there anything you're seeing or envisioning or inklings you have of what comes next or how this might expand?
Well, I think, yes. You know, it really, it's sometimes it's hard to predict what is going to happen next. We will continue streaming the lectures and the meditations, because these are things that we feel that can continue in the long term. The Sunday service, for example, is the one thing that I sometimes wonder what's going to happen with the Sunday service, because with the Beyond the Walls and the Sunday service are, in a way, the same kind of creature, the same kind of event. They're both, I don't want to say traditional church services, but they have the components of a church service. And I am thinking that eventually these two are just going to become one thing. And the way that we do Beyond the Walls, and it's not going to be once a month, but it's going to be every week. The question is whether that's going to happen on Sunday morning or some other day of the week, that the congregation here and the congregation online is going to meet and sing hymns together like we've done with you on a weekly basis. That is the main thing that I wonder sometimes about.
Yeah, for sure. I want to bounce back a little bit into the impact question, because I'm sensing that virtual ministry really has enhanced mission and invitation in Toronto Center Place. But maybe that's even larger than your congregation. Is there any other way that virtual ministry has enhanced the experience there that maybe we haven't touched on yet?
I think it has given the long-term members of the congregation a sense that we're not just meeting here on a Sunday and whatever happens, it happens just between us. It's in an enclosed little room, but everyone has already a sense that everything that we do here is reaching out, and it really has changed the way that people, you know, welcome the congregation, people welcome the people that are sitting here, people welcome the people that join us online, welcome them by name, which we don't usually do with the people that are sitting here. I think there is a sense that this thing that we do now, we understand, has a value. I think sometimes we had lost that sense. We thought that we were just doing this because this is something that we've always done. It's just by inertia that we come here every Sunday. But really, you know, we were not even inviting people to come, because I think we, the congregation, we were not inviting people, because I'm not sure we were understanding the value of what we were doing here. We maybe thought that other people had no interest in whatever we were doing. And that has changed, because all of a sudden we realized that we have a jewel here and other people value that. And these other people that maybe we don't see here in person have reminded us why we do what we do.
Mm, that's amazing. I've never been to Toronto Center Place, but I have been there virtually connected online, and I hope to have a time to come and be there face to face. But as you're speaking, I'm understanding in a much deeper way how this has impacted people in the virtual community, but also the people there face to face. It's opened this whole new horizon of understanding who we are and what we're about, and that we already are a beautiful jewel. And sometimes we don't see that.
Well, that was, that is something that happened to me when I mean, not necessarily here at the congregation, but when I started meeting people from other congregations at campground reunions and other events that brought many congregations together, is, you know, people had heard about me and they knew that I was just a recent, I had recently been baptized as a member of Community of Christ. And I can't tell you how many times people, you know, were asking me, Leandra, but could you explain to me, why did you join Community of Christ? why would anyone join Community of Christ, Leandra? Could you explain that to me? Very nice people, I think they had just forgotten the value, and someone else from outside has to eventually come and tell you, well, you know, what you guys are doing is great. Your principles, your mission is great. So just have to invite people. You have to reach out. Mm-hmm. And that has happened again at a congregational level. It's, you know, all of a sudden people are, you know, every Sunday it's exciting. It's happy. We have purpose. The service has all of a sudden a lot more meaning, every part of it.
Mm. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing to hear you talk about. Is there anything else that you want to share that maybe I haven't asked you about today?
You know, the challenges, you were asking me about like the the future for our online ministry. And I guess one thing I didn't mention is the main challenge that we see is how to, I guess two challenges. One is how to further engage our online congregation. And at this point, I talk about the online congregation because it's people that join us every week. And there's a sense that, you know, they participate with us, but there's something missing. When we do these online ministry with Zoom, we see everyone's faces and, you know, it's a little bit more interactive than the kind of online ministry that we do here. So that is one challenge, how to further encourage people's participation if they're not here. How to just connect the people here that are physically in this at the building of Toronto Congregation with all these people from all these different places. How we get to know our online congregation better. Mm-hmm. And the other challenge is it's the technologies in itself, social media itself, that it's constantly changing. So you can, once you do something, you just have to keep an eye on it because it's Facebook, Google, Instagram are always changing. There's always something new. And all of a sudden you put something online and no one sees your video. No one sees that you're online because Facebook has changed something. And it's just, there's a constant, you really have to enjoy it. And I've spent hours like just looking at these things. Sometimes it's like 1 a.m. and I'm still like looking at all these stats and who is viewing from where. And I find it fascinating, but yeah, it's a constant constant work. It's really part of the ministry.
Yeah, that is so. It's so interesting in so many different pieces of it.
And you know what? You know, just one last thing that I guess I would like to say to anyone who is considering starting. Any kind of online ministry is just don't just try to adapt what other people are doing for your needs, because that happened to us. And we were, you know, we knew that there were other congregations that, you know, already had online programs. And the first attempt was to, not copy, but use that as a template for what can happen here with the same technologies, the same way of structuring the online gathering. And it didn't really work out. So we had to start from scratch and say, this is what we want to do. How can we do it? And of course, there's best practices. You know, then you go see what other people are doing. But really, it has to start with your idea, with your ministry. So do not change other people's ministry to do your ministry. Just do your ministry first. Know what your ministry is. Know what you want to offer online first.
That is incredibly valuable counsel, Leandro. I really appreciate it. And it's so true, to be authentic to our own sense of call, our sense of how God is inviting us to move into the future and to be our authentic selves. That is sage wisdom, to be sure. Well, I want to thank you for being with us here on Project Zion Podcast, Leandro. And I want to remind our listeners, if you want to participate in any of the online gatherings offered by Toronto Center Place every Sunday morning. They live stream, and that's archived on Facebook as you scroll down. On Tuesday night are the lectures. And what time do the lectures start, Leandro?
The lectures on Tuesday start at 7:30 Eastern time.
Okay, so the Tuesday lectures, 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. And then every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern time, we have the meditation ministry. And on the third Thursday of the month, we have the Beyond the Walls, which this month coming up on July 19th will be Unity in Diversity. And again, that's at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Have I left out anything?
No, that's perfect, Robin. And thank you so much for inviting me to participate. It's been wonderful. And it's always, as you can see, I get really excited when I start just like revisiting our journey and see where we started, where we're at, and just, you know, just, and we'll just keep riding the wave.
Yes, that wave. I love that wave. Well, Project Zion podcast listeners, thank you once again for joining us here with Leandro Palacios from Toronto, Canada. We thank you so much, Leandro, for being with us. And I look forward to the next time we get to see each other in person, and you can count on me to be one of your virtual listeners.
I know. I've seen you many times, so thank you.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use, and while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.